Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Does your vision for business match what you see happening on a daily basis? Welcome to Jim White's Circle of Success, where Jim White brings it all together. For over 30 years, Jim White has worked with organizations and individuals worldwide to help develop and implement excellence. You'll get the inside story on how to create innovative leaders from one quarter of your company to the other. Get everyone on your team contributing to the bottom line. Keep building revenue even when the economy and your customers have flatlined. And more. Jim White's Circle of Success Radio covers it all, from communication to contract negotiation, from personal fulfillment to revving up cash flow. It's not about theories. It's about showing you what works and how to make it work for you. And now, here's your host, Jim White.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jim White, and we're broadcasting live from the beautiful Portola Hotel and Spa in Monterey, California, on Saturday, November the 5th, 2011. This is a remote location broadcast, so anytime you do a remote location broadcast, you hold your breath and all the technology holds together. So bear with us, but I think we're good. Like I said, we're broadcasting from the 64th annual Far West Equipment Dealers Association meeting in the beautiful Salinas Valley. And we got a fantastic show for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I've been looking forward to this show for a number of weeks now. The topic of the show is, you look on the show page, I termed 3 C's of NYPD. And what is that? It's New York Police Department's definition of crime fighting, counterterrorism, and community relations. And we have an expert with us today that's going to spend 2 segments at the bottom of the hour. We'll conclude the interview. And he's a deputy inspector, Amin Kassim. Amin is the deputy inspector, as I said, in the Community Affairs Bureau running special projects. Some of their special projects, as you'll find out as we get into the show, has been recently aired by 60 Minutes and CNN and other great things. So it just goes to show you the quality of the programs that Inspector Kassim is running throughout in New York City Police Department. Like I said, he's running the special projects, community outreach and training. He is a 23-year veteran of the New York City Police Department. He started his career as a patrol, if I could talk this morning, officer on the streets of New York City, followed by a stint working in narcotics as a sergeant. He worked with the Attorney General's office and then, as he likes to say, tried his hand at teaching at the police academy. And I think he did more than try. I think he probably hit it out of the ball. He was then tasked with running the evidence collection team, kind of it's a mini crime scene unit, if you will. Upon promotion to lieutenant, he was an investigative supervisor in charge of internal police investigations, such as firearm discharges. He then returned to the police academy and ran the leadership development section, responsible for training all middle management and executives within the New York Police Department. Captain was next on his journey and went into the crime and traffic, and that, as he says, became his life, the life of Comstat And I want to learn more about that when we get Inspector Casino on live. And traffic stat prepares, which you said prepares one for the riggers. And I love that word, riggers, of doing more with less. And that's certainly our challenge today, right? Doing more with less. Amin then got a phone call from an old boss of his asking if he could come and help out by working at the Community Affairs Bureau. Initially, Amin ran the youth programs for the city of New York, such which included the Police Athletics League, DARE, great program, and we're going to learn more about the that program, the Police Explorers, and the Youth Police Academy. After reorganizing youth services, Amin was asked to take charge of special projects and community outreach and training. It was during this tenure, this time, that Amin was promoted to his current rank of deputy inspector. He works with special projects, which include all community-related programs for the city of New York, such as clergy liaison, citizens on patrol, block watchers, community partnership programs, and sports programs, specifically soccer and cricket, the latter of which we're going to learn a lot about today. He is also responsible for responding to any community unrest which arises within the city. And he is absolutely passionate about what he does. So, Amin, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me.
I tell you, it is my pleasure, sir. What a wonderful resume. And I know the first time we chatted, one thing that really grabbed me, and I use the term heart a lot, by the heart, was your passion for what you do. And it's just set the stage for our audience. And like I said, I use the word the three C's, the crime fighting, the counterterrorism, and the community relations. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about these, this program that's got so much well-deserved accolades, like I said, that recent piece on 60 Minutes and CNN. So let's just have a conversation here and tell the world about how this thing came about and what it's all doing and how we measure it. And tell us about the program, especially from the cricket thing that you're doing. So, but just set the foundation. Tell us about what you guys are doing.
Well, to start off, we have the three C's, like you mentioned, which is crime fighting, counterterrorism, community relations.
Right.
And they're all tied into one. To reduce crime, you need community relations, because if the community doesn't help you in providing information on who committed those crimes, you're not going to get it to happen. The same thing with counterterrorism. You need good community relations, because if there's something amiss in the community, who better to tell you than the people who live and work in that community? So the three C's are tied together, especially since 9/11, our counterterrorism efforts, whether locally or through government, have really risen quite a bit. We look at the new national strategy for counterterrorism, which came out this year with the Obama administration, which urges the empowerment of local partners to prevent violent extremism in the U.S. And to do that, it requires cooperation and engagement on all levels of government to develop counter-radicalization strategies effectively. So we look at that, and it's more on the local level that can deal with this more than on a government level, even though the government realizes the importance and is trying to get involved now. We are dealing locally with the communities, especially the Muslim community. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned, when you live within that community, you're in a position to become aware of any unusual activity that's occurring in your own neighborhood. The problem is members of that community may feel some barriers such as communication, discrimination. They immigrate from overseas, and they're not comfortable with the police because the police were corrupt where they've come from. And they become involved in situations where they might not have been open to radicalization prior, but when they come here, because of these barriers, they might become open to it. So we, what we need to do is we realize that the communities are not our problem. And some people will try to point to the community and say, hey, they're not helping us enough. Well, the reason is they need to feel comfortable with us. They need to feel that rapport with us where they're open to speaking to us, because in the long term, the communities are the solution. And that's what we need to realize, especially with the rise of homegrown terrorism. Because the homegrown terrorism is people that are living, working, eating, shopping, socializing alongside other people within our communities. And that front line of intelligence can come to us if we have that rapport with the community.
I tell you, I'm just so taken back by the approach of and going out and being proactive in the community. And what I heard you say, I mean, it all comes back to trust, does it not? Trust. Building that trust.
It's all about trust. Yes. And the time to build the trust is when there are no issues. If we have a problem,
you
don't go to the community once you have the problem, because the community knows you there because of the problem. You have to build trust when all is calm. Because that way, when there is a problem, you can go into that community now, and that community is going to trust you because you've built the trust prior. You just come to people when there's a problem. They're gonna know there's other reasons you're there. You're not there because you're there for their well-being. You're there to just try to find information from them, and that's not the way to deal with communities. And this goes with anything, not just about counterterrorism, but with crime, with quality of life issues. You know, deal with issues within the community. You talk about community policing, community-oriented policing, problem-solving. It's all about developing rapport with communities.
I mean, when did the New York Police Department, was it post 9/11 that got you guys really involved in this? Or you had this thing mission prior to 9/11? Because it's really picked up a lot of momentum of what you guys are doing there in New York City.
Yes. We've had a vibrant community policing police department pre-9/11, but the problem was we weren't reaching all the new immigrant communities. And post-9/11 is when we formed a new immigrant outreach unit, which we started dealing with these new immigrant communities. And the secret to that was to bring in officers of certain descent. So we brought in officers from Pakistan. We brought in officers from Egypt, from Yemen, and by doing that, they went out into these new immigrant communities because, number one, they understood the customs, their traditions.
Right.
They knew how to speak the language. They came from those communities. They lived in those communities. So they garnered respect right from the get-go. And that's important in itself, because when you're dealing with certain communities, whether it be South Asian, Arab, whether it be Hispanic, whatever it might be, if you go in there with people that understand those customs, that live in those communities, that speak the language, they're going to be able to develop a rapport much quicker than anyone else.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. What the funding for this? I mean, the Cricket League. How many leagues do you have now? What are you, 100 and something? What's the level of involvement?
We started the NYPD Cricket League 4 years ago. This is our fourth year we completed it. And every year we play in Brooklyn, we play in Queens, which is two of the boroughs out of the city, because that's primarily where those communities reside. And we have over 200 kids, 12 teams that participate in our league. And actually, we have more kids that want to join. It's just because of resources, it's very difficult because cricket is such a long game to play to get more teams going. Cricket itself, if you know anything about the game, a regular cricket game takes days to complete. We play a format called 2020, which is a shortened version, which takes approximately 3 hours to play. But we play two games a day, twice a week. So the resources of picking those kids up, bringing them to the field, playing the games and bringing them back is a whole day affair.
Right.
It's not that simple.
Right.
It's a whole day at
where's
that.
Where's the funding coming from to support these things? Is it from the budget or outside donations or foundations? Or how's the funding for this?
The funding for our league comes from our police foundation, which is a nonprofit organization which raises money for us. They assist us with the funding and the resources. Once again, other departments looking to emulate, to do what we're doing, you can go to nonprofits, you can go to volunteers in the community. There's a lot of organizations that are going to want to help you deal with communities, and that's the answer. Because we all know police departments don't have the budgets, especially they don't have the resources the NYPD has, naturally.
Right. Yeah, you guys are the shining example worldwide for your police department. There's no question about that. Any measures in place, and where I'm going with this, okay, we've been 4 years specifically into cricket in the league, and like I said, you bring in from the police officers, what culture and building that trust. Was there a baseline in place, or can we measure the, what am I looking for the decrease in crime? What's the measure to say this thing is successful?
Well, to me, measuring it is the reaction you get from community and from the kids involved.
Right.
The leagues themselves, we deal with youth from ages 14 through 19.
Mm-hmm.
And what we try and do is, once that kid hits 19 and he can no longer play, because we also have a soccer league within the Arab community, once he can no longer play, we try to get that young man to become a mentor or a coach for the teams so we can keep that contact, we can keep that rapport and keep it going. And naturally, we try to also get these youth to join the police department or join some type of law enforcement agency. It's also a recruitment tool for us. Because we need people to join our department and understand the language and the customs in those communities. It's an important piece of law enforcement. So not only is it bringing information in, but it's also securing our police department for the future. Because we have a very diverse police department, thank goodness, but we need to diverse it even more and to bring in more people that understand these customs and these languages.
Boy.
So that's an important piece of it.
I love that. I just got chills when I heard about it because that vision. Have we had any of the young men or women hitting at 19 that's actually moved into the academy?
Well, you have to be 21 to get into the academy now. But yes, what we've done is we've gotten them into. We have other youth programs. For instance, you mentioned the Police Explorers.
Right.
We have the police. So we try to do is we get them into these other programs. We try to get them into the Cadet Corps, and there have been from 4 years ago some of those kids that have been involved in our league have joined the department. So it has been successful. And once again, this is a long-term project. Anything you do with community relations is about a long-term project, because in the short term you can talk all you want about intelligence, as far as bringing intelligence in. But dealing with community relations is a long-term project, and that's when you'll see results over the long term. The government sees it. Like I said, the national strategy talked about it. The National Counterterrorism Center recently came out with a community awareness briefing. Now, when a terrorism center with the government comes out with a community awareness briefing, that shows you how important it is when the government is realizing this is what we need to do. We need to talk to communities. We need to put ourselves in communities. We need to open the door for them and have a two-way street as far as sharing information.
I tell you, other departments around the country, have they picked up the phone and say, hey, you think this will work in my community? And the thing that comes to mind.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, other departments do reach out to me. I talk with the LAPD and the LA Sheriff's Office, and they're very focused on community relations as well. You have a couple of key people over there. They truly believe in it. And I think a lot of small departments would love to be able to do this. So I think there's some type of template for people to look at and, mm-hmm. and even on a small level. And this can tie into any community. It doesn't just have to be about counterterrorism. It could be about fighting crimes or gang relations.
Right.
So we can tie it in. I mean, obviously you have to formulate the plan a little different, but the carrot, as I put it, in most of these communities is the youth. And you got to get the youth involved. And to get the kids involved, it's usually through sports. Sports is the number one way to get kids involved. I just did a presentation the other day. We had the entire executive staff from the police and the Ministry of Defense from China here. I spoke to them. And, you know, they're having the same type of problems. They're having the counter-radicalization problems, the gang problems. And when I spoke to them about some of the programs, they, you know, these are some of the things they weren't aware of. So I'm sharing some information with them. So it's interesting when you speak to people from overseas about what they're doing to combat these things. And I think, you know, being in New York City, I think we're on the forefront. I think we're more thinking out of the box as much as we can. And you have to have the right people involved. And if you're not passionate about what you want to do, you'll never be successful at, no matter what type of living you're trying to make.
I tell you what. Amen. Absolutely. You got to have that. You got to have that passion. You know the area, in Monterey Peninsula area, because you were here when you went through the Homeland Defense and Security here at the Naval Postgraduate School, right? You spent some time here on the peninsula.
Yes, I spent 18 months back and forth through New York and Monterey with the Naval Postgraduate School, which I just completed several months ago, actually. I just graduated. And I wrote my master's thesis on best practices to counter radicalization, both in the United States as well as abroad. So I did quite a bit of research, quite a bit of reading. It was a very challenging experience, but a very enjoyable one as well.
Yeah, and I've read that your paper, and I mean what you sent me, and it's great. Where could our audience any website? Repository, people wanting to read your thesis, could they do that? Is it located any place that the public could access?
It's actually located at the Naval Postgraduate School, right on the website.
Okay.
If you plug in my name, or if you plug in the title, it'll come up. It's open source material, so
okay.
Anyone can view it, download it, read it for their enjoyment, and if they have any questions, my email information is on there. They can always get in touch with me.
Okay, great. I mean, we got to get in a short break, but when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit more about your thesis and how private business, if they recognize that it's good for business to have community policing. And so when we come back from the break, I'd like to talk a little bit about that if we may.
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll be back in 46 seconds.
This segment is brought to you by 12 O'Clock High Leadership and Management Summit. 12 O'Clock High is one of the undisputed best movie classics of all time. It is also one of the best business learning tools available. The movie rated number one by top executives for its influence on their management style. Now, the inspiration of the 12 O'Clock High Leadership and Management Summit, an innovative one-day event and 30-day follow-up where you will quickly see what's working and not working on the front lines of your company and in your own leadership style. Learn more at 12high.com. That's 12high.com.
Okay, thank you. And we're back with Amin Kassin, the New York City Police Department, and we're talking about his thesis and what's the name of the thesis again, please?
The thesis was best practices to counter radicalization through the United States as well as abroad. So what I did is I looked at what we did in the United States, New York, LAPD, LA Sheriff's Department. I also looked at overseas, what we've done in the UK, the Netherlands, and Amsterdam, and I came up with some some good policies, which I think should be implemented throughout to counter radicalization or countering violent extremism, as DHS puts it.
How about private sector businesses? Have they, you know, anyone, big, small, whatever, from a business sector? Has anybody sent you an email or picked up the phone and said, Inspector, how can this help our business? Is this good for business? And you see where I'm going with it? That question makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, with businesses, as far as counterterrorism itself goes, we actually have a program called NYPD Shield, and that's directly with the private sector. It's security and counterterrorism, public-private partnerships. And if you go to the website and you can just put in NYPD Shield, it provides best practices, it provides lessons learned, it provides counterterrorism training, and it provides information sharing. And they will actually, once you sign up, send you emails whenever there's an event anywhere, whether it's abroad or domestically, to give you an update on what's going on. And we actually hold events in New York where we actually call members of the Shield in, those security directors, and give them updates. I would say on every 3 or 4 months, we'll call them into one police plaza and speak to them. So we try to stay in touch with our private sectors, because they're an important piece. You know, we talk about policing itself today. We talk about doing more with less, and we need the help of other agencies and the private sector to make that happen. And when you deal with communities, to be resilient and to be safe, they have more concerns than just what the police department can do for them. They have education problems.
Right.
They have some social problems. They could have a problem with an elderly person, with a building, with politicians. And they need this information. So part of, I think, our job as a police department is to reach out to those other agencies and to form some type of fair, maybe a health fair, to bring people in, to show them what we have, or to form some type of presentation where we bring those other agencies in. And we need support from the private sector, because the private sector can help us fund these things, because a lot of times they can be expensive to run. And the private sector is going to get involved for a number of reasons. Number one, it keeps them safe. If you look at counterterrorism, you want to keep your building in Midtown Manhattan safe. You're hiring a lot of people from new immigrant communities in different positions, you know, from the person cleaning the floor to the vice president of the company can be from overseas. And those people have the same issues when it comes to dealing, having to work within their families to live safe and prosperous. So we need to offer people those resources, the information they might need to feel comfortable here, to assimilate here. And that's a big piece of it, because if people don't feel comfortable here, then they might listen to what's on that internet. They might, you know, get involved with the wrong group of people because they just don't feel like they're part of our host society.
Right. You know, when we were chatting offline some days ago, it also struck me, and when you said, you are the highest ranking, fill in the blank, highest ranking within the New York Police Department.
Yeah. I'm the highest ranking Arab American within the police department.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of that, and I try to mentor other Arab officers, explain to them what they need to do to be successful. And to be successful, you just need to work hard and believe what you want to do and be passionate about it. And luckily, you know what, through my years in the police department, I haven't had have one bad position. I love what I do. I will never change it. I'm very lucky and fortunate to be where I'm at. And luckily, you know, the other part of what I do is you have to have buy-in from the top.
Right.
The police commissioner truly believes in the mission and is there. And even, you know, we talk about the cricket games. The police commissioner will come out to the cricket games to kick it off for the final game. He hands the trophy to the kids. He'll talk to the families. He'll take photos with everyone. And he loves to be out there. And when you see that buy-in, the community sees it. You know, when someone like Police Commissioner Kelly can come out to these events and make time in his schedule, and trust me, has a very busy schedule, it shows the community that he cares. And that's an important integral piece as well. You got to have buy-in from the top.
I agree, and I've watched some of the pieces and clips from the different 60 Minutes and CNN and other things, and you can see he loves the program. And like I said, it takes him. And how about Mayor Bloomberg? Is he getting involved in this thing? I mean, because he's pretty hands-on in New York City, right?
And Mayor Bloomberg is just as busy as the police commissioner. He's aware of it. In fact, they run a mayor's Cup Cricket League, believe it or not.
Right.
Last year, he actually invited us to Gracie Mansion, where he had a party for his Mayor's Cup, which is different than our league, but we brought our kids down, our winners down, and he took photos with all the kids, and it was a wonderful experience. So he's aware of what we do as well, and he's in full support.
Yeah, I tell you, I love what he's done with that city, and I tell you what, I love what you're doing. I have a lot of respect for your passion and your work, also for the commissioner and everybody at the New York Police Department. I mean, what a shining example you guys are. And are we going to go any other place in the United States that has any more diversity in New York City? If it is, I don't know where it is. So there's a lot of things that we can learn from those communities. We have about 30 seconds left. See how fast this 30 minutes went? You know, it just goes very, very rapidly. You're going to be back on my TV show on November the 14th, and we're going to be live via Skype. You're going to have a segment, and also in the studio, I'm going to have Glenn Woodbury from the Naval Postgraduate School and Heather Isron and yourself, and we're going to have another topic on this, and it's just a few days away. So I just tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing, and I want the world to hear and more awareness. And we got to figure out a way to get the New York Police Department to loan you, and you need to get on the airplane, in my opinion, go around the world and share this news, right?
I would love to do that. I would love to be able to assist and help. And like I said, I'm very passionate about this and truly believe in it, and I know it's our future.
It is. Amin, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to talking to you again on the 14th of November on our television show. And we have a series of both on the radio and on the television to bring awareness, and this is what our program is all about. We just bring awareness. There's no slant one way or the other. There's no spin on it. It's just let people know on the front lines of all the hard work and dedicated people from all walks of life, and to understand that law enforcement is not your enemy. They're your friend. And that's a big hurdle to overcome a lot of times, isn't it, Mike?
That is true. That is true. Well, law enforcement is not just crime fighting. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah, it certainly is. Amin, thank you for taking time away from your family to share with our audience today. And like I said, our broadcast, you're going to be interested in this, but 21% of our listeners is we got a Middle East audience, and it continues to build. So I'm very proud of that. So it was a pleasure to have you on, and you have a great weekend. And I will talk to you on the 14th of November on the TV show.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. You have a great weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome, sir. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the economy, updates there. I'm going to share with you the reason we are broadcasting remotely today, and we're going to be back after about 53 seconds, so be right back.
This segment is brought to you by What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course. Looking for clarity of purpose? What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course can help you define your goals and vision, start living your life on purpose. Living on purpose is about joy. Living on purpose is about intention. Living on purpose is about personal transformation and continued growth. What's My Purpose Life Mastery Course 2.0 helps you address finances, relationships, spiritual growth, physical and mental health. You'll reclaim your personal power and get your life on track to attain true success. Learn more at whatsmypurpose.com.
We're back. What a fantastic guest. Is he full of passion? I love that. He's full of passion, big heart, great job that the New York City Police Department is doing, and they are a shining example for the rest of us. So we're going to talk about in the next segment briefly about the economy. If you've been watching the any of the news reports, which is how can you miss it, right? The continuing debt crisis in Europe and how that affects the United States and the rest of the world. The recent unemployment numbers came in. You know, I think they're saying they're down a little bit to about 9%. But we still have over 13 million, depending on the number of people, unemployed. And for our regular listeners and for you that's tuning in for the first time, for the past several weeks, we've been doing a series on the funding and for the construction industry and the ag industry, all walks of life, and with one focus in mind. Keep the pressure on our elected officials. Remember the reason you're elected, and that is to represent the people. And to come together, not only from both houses, but from the administration as well. And then as we trickle down into the states and the cities and all of the other municipalities, knowing that we have a responsibility to our community and so do our business leaders to help create jobs and make reinvestment. I'm still disturbed a little bit about the amount of excess cash that corporate America is sitting on, even though I understand it to a degree and I understand it because there is uncertainty and fear abounds as we come into the 2012 election cycle. And God, if you're paying attention to this whole Republican side, and you know, and I'm not promoting either party. I don't care what you call yourself. I just want the best individual, male or female. I don't care what your color of the skin is. It doesn't matter. We just need the best person for the job to have the courage to make the tough decisions and to lead. We are missing our leadership. You've heard me say that over and over and over. We need leaders from every corner of the earth. We need leaders that understands these programs that that the New York Police Department is doing and other police departments. Last week, we had another great guest that was on, was talking about domestic terrorism and anarchy, right? Chuck Kilby from Eugene, Oregon. So it's important. We cannot separate security, freedoms, and economics. They all come together, but the thing that we got to make sure that we're doing is everything possible to keep people employed. And as Amin was sharing, going out into the community, and the community can be your marketplace, from business side, from the public side, your community, and understanding the needs of the people, listening to them, communicating, and developing that trust. I have my friend Stephen M.R. Covey, and his partner, Greg Link, they're in the process of releasing another book, and I'm going to keep the name on it. And I think you've heard me speak of their book that's been out for some time called The Speed of Trust, and I'm such a supporter of that work because through our consulting practice, we have always been very fascinated to be able to measure and track trust and how that impacts the bottom line or the value and the stock price. So it is trust that's very, very critical. So I'm looking forward. I know he's going to release his book in January 2012. We're going to have him on our television show. So I just want to bring that up. And it's a great support of what Inspector Kassim was saying about building trust within the communities. So it's all across the board, building trust with your employees, your spouse, your friends, your partners, community. It's all about trust, trust, trust. So it's just a big deal, and I really appreciate everybody and that's involved in that. Now I want to talk to you about our remote location. I want to share with you a little bit about the Far West Equipment Dealership and the association. And what we're doing here at the association, and okay, we have a guest coming in, and what we're going to do is that's great here. So what we're going to do is take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a guest, and we're going to chat just briefly about his business and what the association is doing here at their convention. So we'll be right back.
This segment is brought to you by Circle of Success, a dynamic year-long intensive management and leadership development process designed to help individuals and organizations reach their goals quickly. A customized process addressing specific needs and identifying the critical opportunities particular to the individual and organization, with results measured in increased revenue, increased net profits, and increased equity. The Circle of Success, inspiring excellence in people. At jlwhiteinternational.com/circles.
Sorry, we had dead air here for a moment, folks. Thank you so much for hanging in there. We're going to do another segment at the top of the hour as well. So I really, really appreciate your hanging in with me this morning. Like I said, we are broadcasting live from the beautiful Portola Hotel and Spa in Monterey, California. And I want to thank the general manager and all the and Philip. If you're listening, I want to thank you for your support and your hospitality. And I also want to reach out and say thank you to the executive director and all the staff at Far West Equipment Dealers for providing such a wonderful space for our remote location today. Like I said at the top of the hour, we're going to come back with another segment. And we're going to actually talk to a principal, and we're going to talk about the ag industry and the outlook. And people say, "Wow, ag industry, that's exciting." Yeah, that is exciting because the need for food and food safety and production and in the Salinas Valley, I mean, ag accounts for over $4 billion. It's a $4 billion industry in our Salinas Valley, California. So I want to take another quick break, and we'll be right back with you to wrap up the show for today. And before I go to break, I want to give you a website that I'd like for you to go take a look at. and it is jlwcos.tv. That's the site for our new television show, and like I said, we're premiering our one-hour talk show live on KYMB-TV, Comcast Channel 19, and we're going to be streaming live through jlwcos.tv to over 200 countries, and I am so excited about that. And the mission of the show is to inspire and to educate and to give you as individuals and organization tools that you can use every day when the show is over to go out and make your life and your business better, ever how you want to define that, but in a positive way. We're going to bring guests from all walks of life, from the community. We're going to have compelling stories. We're going to have guests that's going to make you laugh and cry, and we're going to have gurus from health, and we're going to have technology. We're going to look at technology. We're going to look at life's trials and tribulations. We're going to have business leaders. We're going to have current and world affairs that we're going to be addressing. We're going to just have what I think is a very exciting show. And obviously you're saying, Jim, you're biased. Yes, I am. But I'm very excited about it. We got a wonderful, wonderful team and the broadcast company, Coca-Cola Broadcasting, our friends there with KYMB-TV. And so we're very excited to announce that. And once again, go to the website, jlwcos.tv, take a look at our guests and all the other great stuff we have there. So we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to come back, and we're going to conclude the show for today. And then, if you're interested, at the top of the hour, we're going to do some more segments where we're going to do some live interviews with some very inspirational folks here from the 64th convention for the Far West Equipment Dealers. So hang in there, take another break, and we'll be right back. I get the studio. Like I said, this is live radio, ladies and gentlemen. So here we go.
Inspiring excellence in people. You're listening to Jim White. Circle of Success Radio with your host, Jim White. Now, back to our show.
Okay, thank you. We're back. I want to conclude today's show just to throw out, and these are going to be some numbers, and I know sometimes it gets a little boring here, just hearing numbers. But every time, every morning when I wake up, I'm asking myself, what can I do today to make it a better day for me and everybody around me, my clients, my listeners, my viewers on the TV show, and what? So I just want to leave you with some very important facts about small business and small business impact on the U.S. economy. Sometimes we think that we have these mega corporations, and I'm about to get myself in trouble, but we got all these mega corporations, and tax reform is a need and a very complex subject, but it's something that we're going to be addressing in the shows in weeks to come. However, my point is this. A lot of the major corporations, they don't pay any tax or support this, so small business. And you realize that 99% of all employers represent small business, right? 99.7% of all employer firms are small business. That's a big deal. And they employ over half of all private sector employees. That's a big deal. And they pay 44% of the total U.S. private payroll. Another big deal. They have generated 64% of the net, that's the operative word, net new jobs over the past 15 years. They have created more than half of the non-farm private gross domestic product, and they hire 40% of the high-tech workers. These numbers are significant. And why are they significant? It goes to the point that you, as listeners and the viewers of both the television show and the radio show, that you need to have consistent pressure on all your representatives to say, we've got to refine some of the regulations, we've got to get long-term funding in place, and we've got to continue to do innovation. We've got to be consciously aware of innovation and start building stuff again. So this is a big deal. Now, it's also very interesting. 52%, excuse me, and 2% are franchises or home businesses. So with the advent of the internet today, there's a lot of things that you can do, and especially you folks that are out there pounding the pavement every day trying to find employment. And encourage you to, but with caution, don't get sucked into some of these internet quick get rich type of schemes, which is just absolutely horrible in my mind. But what I'm saying, there's a lot of resources available to you, and a lot of those resources you can find on our websites, all of our websites, and especially jlwcos.tv, jlwcos.tv, a lot of resources you can find there. Now, also, small business produced 13 times more patents per employee than large patenting firms. So once again, small business, it's important. It's important. Now, the definition of small business, it varies. I mean, small business, in some cases, $500 million, okay? But that's not the norm. So I just wanted to reach out and give my support to all the small businesses. And this is one thing that the Portola Hotel and Spa, they're very much involved in the community. And reach out with different programs. So once again, I want to give a big thanks to those people. So next week we have another exciting guest is going to be on the show, and we're going to be talking about Mexico, the border. We're going to drill down on the drug cartel, arms, and all of that. So we got another exciting show for you scheduled next week. Now, once again, if you have any show suggestions, anything, go to the website, and I've given it out 1,000 times, but you can never give it out enough, jlwcos.tv. Make your suggestions there. So this is our show for today. We've a few minutes early, but like I said, we are at a remote location and a remote broadcast, and that's okay. When you're through, you're through. I want to thank all of our listeners around the world. Our listener base is increasing by the week, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your support. And also, for your listeners, we're creating, and we have the final pieces on a wonderful promotional and advertising package that we're going to be offering our businesses and individuals to advertise both on the television show, on our radio show, and our different websites. So we got some very creative stuff that we're going to be rolling out to you very, very shortly. So once again, I want to thank Jess, Amin Kassim, New York Police Department, for all of the great work that they're doing and for spending some time with us today. Until next week, this is Jim White saying thank you, make it a great day, and I will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Jim White's Circle of Success Radio. Please visit our website, jlwhiteinternational.com. Join us next time as Jim White brings it all together on Jim White's Circle of Success Radio.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.